Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Alrighty then, good evening everybody and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. I am Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio studio. Hope you had a great weekend. We got some racing underway up here in Canada. We're going to hear from a late model winner tonight. We got so many guests coming up. We got a great show planned. What's going on, Junior? Good weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Of course, the Cup race got rained out, but that's pushed off to Monday. But still got a chance to take in a lot of racing. Got a chance to watch some Xfinity action from Dover, and then as well, my new addiction, if you will, is Fan Choice TV. I've been watching lots of racing on there. Of course, we watched a little bit of the racing last night on Fan Choice from Berlin. Cinco de Mayo night, and that put on a great show in the super late models. Big congratulations to Brian Campbell for picking up the big checkers there. But got a chance to watch the ARCA race today from Nashville.
Right. TV. Gotta love it.
Yep. And then as well, got a chance to watch the final 80 laps from the K&N race that was rained out last night. So from South Boston. So, man.
Who won it?
A lot of great racing.
Who won it?
Derek Krause won the K&N race. Now, it was a split 100. I don't know who won the first 100 laps.
No.
Derek Krause picked up today's, the second of the 100 laps. They did similar to what they do at Saskatoon with at Wyant Group Speedway with the NASCAR Pinty Series. Two 100 lap races, separate points, separate everything. So really surprising. A lot of guys and girls didn't return for the second day.
Really?
Not because they tore up cars, because they had other obligations.
Yeah, well, you know what? Work gets in the way sometimes. Yeah. And I guess, a lot of teams travel long ways. They got to get back home and they got to get ready for work. So
definitely.
It happens.
Yep. Two notables. Sam Mayer, of course, GMS racer. He stepped out of the car for Sunday's race. Kyle Benjamin stepped in. As well, Haley Deegan, she was supposed to be in the race. She was in for the first 20 laps last night and had other commitments. So that car just remained parked. The Bill McAnally 19 car just remained parked in the infield. But
that hurts.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going after a points championship, right?
Not going after a championship there. No. She's just Eastern points. She's in the West, so just races a handful of East Coast races when the West side is off. Sam Mayer is going for the championship, and that's why Kyle Benjamin would have been in the car.
Yeah. Well,
good solid finish, though.
Things are all coming together up here in Canada. Tonight's broadcast, all presented by Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Want to remind you that Victoria Fest is coming up. Castrol Victoria Fest coming up at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park.
Going to be a good weekend.
It's going to be the season opener for the NASCAR Pinty Series. Got lots happening on the weekend. Tickets are available now. You may want to pick them up. And how about camping? They got beautiful spots there to camp, and the car's going to flash right by your toes. So a great weekend had by all, and that is coming up. Victoria Fest weekend at CTMP.
That's one thing that I've never done. I've never went to a big ticket race and camped there.
Me neither.
I've went to a lot of big ticket races as a fan and stayed in a hotel or, local races. But really, the full experience of camping is huge.
Oh, sure.
Whether it be the big race at Jucasa or the IWK 250 or a NASCAR Cup race or a truck race, it would be such a cool experience.
It really would
to do
be.
It. I mean, like, it surprises me that I've never done it.
Yeah.
Just looking back on it.
We got to do that.
I think that would be fun. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Truck weekend, maybe.
Truck weekend?
We'll see if we can get Carm and rent one of Carm's trailers.
See, I wouldn't be able to experience the full event.
Why is
doing that? Because I would be very busy that weekend.
You'd be really busy, but
I'd be very busy. So
you're not busy at night.
I mean, you got to be fresh in the morning.
Yeah,
you know, so you stay out of a lot of trouble
if you stay in a hotel.
I kind of want it for the party that goes on in the infield or the outfield.
Yeah,
but I don't think that I don't. DJ definitely would not appreciate how I would return for race
the next day.
Yeah,
we just prop you up there.
Nope,
prop you up in the spotter stand.
No. Nope. Well, to be honest with you, that'd probably be the best place to do that because really the spotters don't do anything. You're clear.
Yeah,
have fun.
Yeah,
that's basically what the spotter does at a road course.
And they're here and gone so quickly, right?
That's right.
Especially at CTMP, those cars are cooking.
Yeah, they are.
Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. Got a great lineup. We're going to kick things off with Donald Chisholm. He is a champion. I think, 2016? 16 or 17? 16, I think. In the Parts for Trucks Tour, he drives the number 89, the Nova Celtic Ford, out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Donald is going to join the show tonight. We'll also hear from, how about APC Prez? We got Luke Ramsey going to stop on by. We'll have a look at the season. He's done a whale of a job, he and his staff, once again, getting things ready to go for the APC series. And in case you missed it, we got some huge news. We will have live coverage of the first race of the APC series this season from Sunset Speedway. We got the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State coming at you live on RTR. Worldwide, absolutely free, live coverage coming up on the September 18th weekend. It's going to be dynamite.
It will be, for sure. September 18th?
Nope. May.
That's what you said. Yeah. May 18th,
May.
The opener.
May 18th.
So I'm just catching, you know?
You're good.
But,
you're real
but
good.
May 18th weekend, of course, the long weekend, it's going to be awesome. It's not the first APC race that you've done live on Racetime Radio.
No, we have done them before.
So I think there was originally, it was like year one, because you did the McCall series a little bit, and then,
the Velocity actually, we weekend. Did one from Sunset Speedway.
Yeah.
I think back to it, and that particular day. It was quite a race. I can remember it well. Andrew Grizel started. He went through the last chance qualifier. He had to.
Yep.
Missed the mark totally in qualifying. Had to go to the last chance. He won the last chance. That put him 22nd, I believe.
For the drop.
In the field for the main event for the APC series. And Andrew went and he passed the number 21 of Matt Pertigo with one lap to go, and ended up winning the race. It was a spectacular race.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Looking forward to that. It's definitely going to be cool to hear it. Of course, I'm going to be there as well.
You got to be at the track.
Yep.
That's where you got to be.
100%. You got to be at the track, but in the off chance that you can't make it or your sponsors can't make it, shoot them the link. It's going to be really cool that they'll be able to take it in, you know, off-site. But I'll be spotting for the 7 car, Verhoeven, for Brandon Verhoeven. So that'll be fun. But that's going to be a busy weekend. That's really the kickoff for me on the spotting side. And I'm spotting for DJ over at CTMP and then shooting across and spotting for Brandon and then going back over and spotting for the race.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a busy weekend. It's going to be a dynamite
the story of our summer.
it is.
A lot of travel.
It sure is. Also coming on tonight's show, we're going to hear from J.R. Fitzpatrick. Of course, he is last year's champion in the APC series. And he got things started out exactly the way he wanted to for 2019. He went to Victory Lane last night at Flamborough Speedway. We're going to check in with JR tonight.
Halfway to where he wanted it.
Halfway?
Halfway.
Oh, there was two features,
there was two features.
Right?
It was a twin feature night at Flamborough. Sean Chenoweth picked up the race number one.
Things didn't go well in race number two.
Things did not go well in race number two for Sean Chenoweth and London Rec. They ended up, unfortunately, losing a race car, basically.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Definitely a very tough incident. And hats off to all the safety equipment that's in these race cars and how well built that that Shaw Racing chassis is, because Sean's not a small boy, and to climb out of a car that's bent up that bad is definitely a, you know, a tip of the hat goes to those guys, because if you haven't seen the wreck, there is a video of it. You can check it out on Mike Schmidt's Facebook page. It's shared. It's also on YouTube. Yeah, definitely a very tough impact. But that's why I say halfway to where JR wanted to be, because he didn't win the race number one.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to talk to him. Obviously, the second one out of the two is just as good, and looking forward to hearing his feedback from the night that was over at Flamborough.
Yeah, we'll do that. And speaking of CTMP and Castro Victoria Fest, we're going to check in with a crafty veteran in the NASCAR Pindy Series. We have Kerry Mix coming on this show.
Mixy?
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
He'd be a real good guest, so we're going to have him in hour number two.
By the sounds of it, and looking at their program, they're going through a little bit of a transition where Dilly's back full-time, correct?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to talk to him about that, and then as well kind of touch base with Mixy about how his car was, because he was at the original or the opening day NASCAR test at CTMP. So we'll cross that bridge and as well kind of get his snapshot heading into the season. So looking forward to catching up with Kerry. I haven't talked to him since the end of night number one.
Yeah, it's been a while. We will catch up with Mixy here tonight. But what do you say, Junior? We get to that hotline. Let's go all the way out to Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia, and let's bring in the driver of the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford. We have Donald Chisholm with us. What's going on there, D? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Not too much. How's it going with you guys?
Yeah, doing fantastic. How are things coming together for that number 89? You got things all put back together and ready to rock and roll for another season?
Yeah, pretty well, I think. You know, the car is, ready to go test. There's a little idea we might go today, but it just didn't quite come together. So maybe one day this week we'll get out and... trying to get Emily's Bandolero together too and ready for the season as well. So lots on the go, lots to be ready for.
And okay, we can get the cars ready. How are the drivers doing? How's Emily making out? How are you doing? Are you feeling good, ready for another season?
Yeah, no, ready to go. It seems to be, you know, that time of year that the sun's out a little bit more than it was and gives you a bit of the itch to get back at things for sure. So yeah, it's around the corner, and I know some guys have done some testing already, and we're about ready. We just haven't quite got everything lined up to get away to go try things yet.
Donald, you're usually the guy on this list, but do we add you to the new car list for 2019, or are you sticking with Old Faithful from 2018?
We did build a new car this year as well. there's a lot of new cars in this area. This season, it seems. I'm not sure how many, but a lot of new cars. So, we did. We typically try to keep one for myself, one for the, you know, NASCAR driver, and one for George. So we try to build one and sell one every year. So, of course, we built one this year. We just haven't had a lot of luck selling anything yet. But, so a new car, hopefully that'll work out okay, and we won't... won't waste half the season trying to figure out what it wants to go.
Absolutely.
To go fast.
For sure. As of right now, our unofficial calculations sits at 7 with yours. But we still don't have an answer from Nicholas Noggle, and we still don't have an answer from John Fleming. So I don't know whether those two boys have went after it. Plus the two King Racing entries, but I can't class those as new because they both turned laps down at New Smyrna, I believe. So I don't know if I can class them as new. They're brand new at the beginning of the season, but they're not going to be brand new when they drop the green, you know? So that's some serious hardware, though.
Yeah, that is for sure. And, that many cars, 7 new cars. There's new cars every year, but that's an exceptional number this year. So that means, you know, there's guys committed to it and obviously serious and trying to gear up to win. So that's good for the long-term health of things, and nice to see that guys are planning on being around for a while.
Are you sticking with the same manufacturer for the number 89, Donald, or have you changed things up that way?
We actually tried a different chassis this year. Tried a Van Dorn chassis. So I guess we got to know Johnny a little bit when he worked with Port City quite a while ago now, and since went out on his own. So, you know, Port City stuff has been real good to us, and we still have a pile of, you know, their equipment around, of course. So, you know, just tried something a little different, I guess, and just sort of started back a while back, I guess, and basically just our knowing Johnny back when he was with Port City. So we'll see. We still have every, you know, the other car from last year is basically as it was, and you know, there was nothing really wrong with it. Just going to try something different for a change, I guess.
Yep.
And that's how you learn, right? You change things up a wee bit. You guys never, ever leave things alone. Even when the car is fast, you always try and make it faster. And I guess a new season, you got to come out and try something different, because if you don't, you could get left in the dust pretty quick in this series.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's a ton of different winners every year. You know, practice speeds are always tight. It's a tough series to win in, and I think it goes shows. But it's tough to win, and part of it is the competitive cars. But again, there's probably 10 guys that can win on a given weekend, so that makes it tough. And things seem to go in fads a bit. You run well one place, and then it kind of falls off. And but it's incredibly hard to win in our series, and looks like it will be again this year with all that new equipment around.
Donald, is there anything looking at, it's kind of nice because we can always refer to you kind of as the statesman of the series now, because you've been doing this a long time. That's not an old joke, I'm just saying. but is there anything that is obviously you don't want to tip your hand at what you've got going into the season, but is there anything that is catching you off guard or surprising you setup-wise that you're doing today that you weren't necessarily doing 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few things. I think just the general, you know, soft spring, everybody runs on bump stops or bump springs now. The spring itself has, you know, much less of a role to what it used to have in racing, let alone that you kind of put them in backwards that you used to years ago. So, you know, and the rear end geometry is changing fairly regular. Ironically, we've never found something magic and stuck with it. We found things that, you know, might work okay or better today at a certain racetrack, but might not even be the scenario you want to come back with or works again a month from now at the same track. So, yeah, some of the stuff is pretty wild compared to, you know, where we started what seems like quite a long time ago now. But the cars are a little faster, but, you know, track record still holds from, you know, quite a number of years now. And we've been close, and guys have been close to it. So setups change and cars get newer, but, you know, the speeds aren't dramatically increasing every year either. It's just, it's almost like you have to change to keep up sometimes.
It's because that rule book keeps on getting tighter and tighter every single year, right? That's basically, as new rules form to outlaw certain things that you had an advantage with, it basically goes by the wayside, and you basically have to reprint the rule book every single time, right?
You know, I think there's a component to that too, and it just seems to be part of the evolution too. Springs were all that anybody ran on, and then people coil bound left front springs, sometimes right front. Then there was bump stops, and two springs, four bump stops, three bump stops. So it's just, I don't know why it changes. You know, we've literally hung shocks and springs on the wall after winning a race and come back, put them back on the car. The car was okay. The car was pretty good, but it wasn't good enough to win that particular day. So it took some changing, and you know, that's a month, 30 or 40 days from winning to, you know, needing some work on the on the same setup.
Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine, Donald, if we could teleport our parents back into this and get our dads back and have a look at the car today, they'd say, man, you guys are nuts.
Yeah. Again, it just stuff develops and changes, you know, sometimes for the better, sometimes maybe not so much for the better. But, stuff looks a bit different maybe than it did years ago, but not going a whole lot faster either, I don't think.
No, just amazing. Man, it's going to be a big season at Riverside International Speedway and all the racetracks near and dear to your heart. 50 years this year. This is going to be a special season, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. The 50 years is pretty significant milestone for any facility, let alone a stock car racing facility in Atlantic Canada. And got a bunch of things planned for this season, you know, to try and commemorate and celebrate, I guess, the anniversary. So something a little maybe different at each race, and, you know, not to take away from the race or the reason we're actually there, just to show a little celebration, I guess, or have a little celebration for the 50th. So looking forward to it. Hopefully Mother Nature cooperates and we get some good weather and trying to replan or reschedule everything for around rainouts.
Absolutely. I've got to ask you, because I haven't talked to you since the Pinty's race there, have you got new axle covers since the last time we were
there? Could reach out and punch
know,
you right
know,
now, he would.
I know, he would. I know. I hope you're smiling.
I'm smiling. I'm trying to come up with a smart-ass thing to say, polite enough to say on the radio.
Yeah.
That's right. I like putting you on the spot. No, the only reason why I asked that is so Friday night, I was sitting out here after work, and I like going back and watching racing, and I felt bad for you all over again. I watched the 2018 Pinty's race from Riverside, and there it was, the axle.
Yeah. Yeah, that was tough. Again, I don't know what happened. I guess it was left loose. But yeah, two laps into the race, or the end of the first lap, and out the axle. Well, the cover comes off, and then out goes the axle, and then out follows that comes the grease. So yeah, tough. Anyway, we'll have stuff drilled, wire tied, and double wire tied this year.
Definitely.
But yeah, it was too bad because the car was absolutely phenomenal. You know what it was going to do over 300 laps? Who knows? But I mean, we were obviously multiple laps down, but up until we decided to park that particular race, we were pretty fast and passed a lot of good cars, and you know, we didn't have the track position to be running competitively with them, but we're fast enough to get by them. So you know, eventually like a yo-yo, every caution you kind of go back and try not to mess up guys that are having a good day with because you had a bad day. So, you know, partway through, we decided to park it. But, yeah, I wish we had that one to do over again because, again, you know, bring that same car back with the same, you know, setup exactly, or as best you can replicate it. And hopefully it's as good. But, you know, a lot more times than not, it needs a little help.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Good part about it is, Donald, you're going to get another kick at that can this year because the NASCAR Pinty Series coming back to Riverside International Speedway. You get another kick at this.
Yeah, no, and again, always look forward to those guys coming to town. It's a little change, kind of a mid or little beyond mid-season change or break for us, if you will. Different car and different bunch of guys to race with. So, and it's a home race, so it's pretty easy to get to Riverside versus, traveling the extent those guys are traveling. So, yeah, look forward to that show every year.
If you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. We are with Donald Chisholm tonight. He's driver of the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford in the Parts for Truck Series out on Canada's East Coast. You also see him in his NASCAR Pindy's ride when the series comes out to Riverside. Donald will be jumping in there. Donald, got to ask you, how's our buddy George Koskulik's doing? I know he's always busy in the shop, but it looks like fishing's going pretty good for him at the beginning of this year.
Joe's doing well. He got fishing on Friday, so they fish Friday, Saturday, and obviously they don't fish Sunday. So yeah, he's back in the swing of things, wide open again, and we spent a few hours in the shop today, so he's pretty wore out. He's got to get his rest for a full week's fishing, and hopefully a test session somewhere this week with the new car.
So it'll be a busy week for old Georgie boy. Are we going to see him much in behind the wheel of the car this year, or what's his plan?
I don't know what his plans are. I hear a little bit of both versions. You know, I hear he's. I think he'd like to. I think he's. You know, I think he still enjoys it. Anyway, we'll have to see. That's kind of a decision for him to make. But I know there's a car there that he that fits him. So if he chooses to, it's there if he wants it.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Can't wait for the season to kick off. Will you be heading to Petty then for the beginning of the season? You're going to make race one?
I don't think we're going to make race one. We'll probably concentrate mostly on Antigonish and Halifax again this year. We might try to do an away Pinty's race later in the season. So just too many things on the go, to be honest, and trying to keep Emily racing. That's 14 different Friday nights, and she also has hoping to get to Cape Breton to try that track down there under some new ownership. So she's looking to do a bunch of racing, which means something's got to slide. So right now it'll be my schedule, I guess.
You just need to work less and race more. That's just how it needs to be, Donald.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough balance to get in to get to work out, actually.
Yeah.
So.
I wouldn't doubt it. You've been a busy cat, and it's going to be a busy season for you. I know we look forward to every one of those races that we can get as many cars out as possible, and I can well imagine that number 89 is going to be shined up and ready to go. We'll catch you at Halifax for sure. We will have live coverage of that Cummins 150. And then, the week right after that, we're back out at Antigonish, out of Riverside. So things are coming at us pretty quick here, Donald.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, season will be here before you know it. And once it hits, it's wide open. It feels like every weekend, and just a lot of prep and a lot of travel and a lot of commitment to run the whole deal.
Final question for you tonight. Got to ask you about Paul McLean. I haven't seen Paul or heard from him much. How's he doing? I bet he's IWK 250 all wound just yet, right?
Yeah, no, things are sort of well underway, the planning. And, Paul's away pretty much for the winter. I think he got down south a little bit. So chatted with him a little bit, and probably see a little bit more over the next week or two. And, as we get closer to the season, for sure. But, another year, just, almost here, and just happens to be the 50th. So, a little bit of extra planning involved in this year, for sure.
He will be putting absolutely everything, and as always, Paul does a dynamite job there. This has been great catching up with you, Donald. We've been looking forward to do this for a few weeks. We finally got it done tonight. I know we can't wait to hit that racetrack. Hopefully you've turned the corner out on Canada's East Coast. The weather starts coming your way, and you can get some test time in.
Yeah, no, I think we're there. And thanks for having me on, guys, and see you at the racetrack pretty soon.
Absolutely. That is Donald Chisholm, driver of that number 89. Sounds like another new car, Junior. Look out.
Yeah, definitely. That's 7, 8, 9 if you count the King cars, and that's big. You know, it's last year we were astounded at 6.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And 9 is 9 new ones, not to count the old ones.
Right.
There were only 11 K&N cars on the racetrack at South Boston this weekend. So, when you look at the health of the series, that's you can draw a direct line to how many cars are there when you look at how many new cars are being built. So, and some, some some teams that are stepping out and swinging for the fences again too.
Sure,
you know, like Dylan Gosby and those guys. They were out testing already, and you know, shaking the car down, and you know, Craig Slonwhite, another guy.
I think Kent Vincent was actually out too. I want to say I seen a tweet the other day that they were all loaded up, getting ready to do some testing. So.
For sure.
These guys get out and do some stuff. I know Wayne at Petty International Raceway will be having test days for these guys. And that's exciting stuff when the season all gets ready to fire off. Everybody wants to get out there, test them out, and then hopefully we get the right weather on that long weekend. And, man, let them rip.
For sure. Yep. And you know what? We're going to add another new car by the sounds of it to the APC list because Chenoweth is going to need one. I think that's, you know, not just to say it, but
tough deal.
That's definitely a tough deal.
Okay, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to have, hopefully, we're going to have Luke Ramsey with us, president of the APC series. We'll have a look at 2019. It's just about here.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for seven long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think he can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
It's a brand new season in the APC Le Moto Series.
We have a gold green.
Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up because this is going to get wild.
Flight to flight coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know what you got to do.
The Daco 100, race one in the APC Le Moto Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed
on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
There we go, everybody. Welcome back to Race Time. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior right here in the RTR studio. We'll get rid of the music and start talking some more racing here. Our next guest is the president of the APC Series presented by Grisdale. And I love talking to this guy each and every time on this program. We get him on. We got Luke Ramsey with us. Luke, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Well, we got out of the box. Looks like Flamborough Speedway got the night in, and it was nice to see 20 cars out on the racetrack. Quite a night.
Yeah, I went down there last night, actually, just to say hi to people I haven't seen for a few months. So it was a great night of racing, and Flamborough Speedway car counts look fantastic.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. We were going to actually make the trip over to Sunset. Then it was Paul's birthday, actually. Paul Grizzell, the owner of Sobel Speedway, it was his birthday. So we had to take a trip over to Paul's for his birthday party. Sunset, tough luck again. 2 weeks in a row they got rained.
Yeah, this weather's really messing with us. It's been a tough start to the year, for sure.
Incredible. Luke, you got a dynamite schedule plan for the APC series once again. This is really, really, every year you guys tend to move that bar up, and things just continue to get better in this series.
Yeah, we've got some momentum going. We've got some great track partners, great race teams, and we're very fortunate to be looking forward to the year we have coming at us, that's for sure.
Going to be incredible, to say the least. Junior and I have been talking to quite a few drivers on the program here. Looks like we got a lot of new cars coming in as well. That could be real good news for a lot of guys. And sometimes you get a brand new car. I don't know what it is, but sometimes you get a brand new car. Takes a little bit to figure them out.
Yeah, I think that first race, Joe, and you know, Joe Junior, you guys have been around long enough to know that you never really know what you've got until you get out there about 25 laps into a race. And lots of new teams, lots of new cars. It'll be exciting. The competition will be fierce. And we're excited for all the guys joining the series. We've got a lot of quality guys jumping in. So it's all positive from our standpoint.
Luke, it's the beginning of the year. And as we mentioned, there was a great car count at Flamborough for night number one in Pro Late Models. And by the sounds of it, there's a great car count that's lined up and ready to go at Delaware Speedway, along with Sobel Speedway, too. But I want to point a finger at the APC contingency program for nightly racing and boosting that up at those racetracks across Ontario. I wanted to touch base and get you to kind of describe it to everybody and to our listeners to exactly what the contingency program is, just as a re-up. I know we covered it off when it was launched, but right now is when it's kind of kicking in into place. So I wanted to get you to kind of break it down for everybody.
Yeah, you know, we've got some great partners with Grisdale Racing and Spectra Premium, and Pennzoil jumped on board this year. And our goal always is to try to get that money back to, as much as possible, back to the teams. And we thought this was a way, and we don't always like to put all the funds to just the top finishers. We want to get to everybody in the field. And the home tracks are so important to us. Everything we do, we try to do for the good of the industry, and we want short track racing. We love it. We're fans first. So we thought this was a program to reward guys. So if they go run a home track race and they win the race, they get an extra $150 on their, as long as they're full attendance, they get $150 on their next APC check. If they get second, it's $100, and third's $50. Last night at Flamborough, we had two of our guys who I suspect will run full time. So it was $300 going to our teams. And then also for every four home track races they run, they get a free tire from us. And then there's championship bonuses. If someone wins a home track championship as well as the APC championship, there's a $5,000 bonus. So it's just something fun we're doing to get, I think it's important we got the same rules package We're on the same tire. I think that's good for racing. And, you know, it's one more step in the right direction, in my feeling.
Oh, absolutely. What you're doing actually is unprecedented, working not only to build a Dynamite series, but really trying to reinforce and help the guys out at a local level. Those are going to be the future stars in the APC series. And just what you're doing as a corporation, as a company, and what you personally, Luke, have done is just simply unmatched. You're doing a Dynamite job with it. The competition this year, when you look at the registered guys so far, we got some new guys coming in. We got a lot of those crafty veterans that are going to be in the series. I don't even know which one that you could point at today and say that guy's got to be a favorite at the end of the series. It's going to be tough this year. For anybody picking their Fast Five, it's going to be a tough deal to try and pick out the five that you think are going to be up there on any given night.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I went down to Flamborough last night with Daryl Timmermans, our race and tech director, and we talked about on the way down. You know, we just said how equal the field is and how many different guys there is that we feel could win a race. And we went through the roster, and we felt there was 17 to 18 guys that could potentially win a race this year. So it's I think the fans are in for a great show. You know, racing is tough to begin with, but now you look at the APC series. If you're going out there, a top 10 is a good finish. And if you're off a bit, you could be looking at 15th on back.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. The fields are going to be full, to say the least. Definitely off the beginning of the year. We see more cars than are going to make the field. That first race at Sunset, the Daco 100, presented by Quaker State, we're going to have it live. And we appreciate that, Luke. I know you had everything to do with that, and we really do appreciate it. How many cars will start that race? If we get 30, 35 cars come through the gate, is it mandated on how many we're going to start that day?
Well, we estimate the number of cars will start to be 26. Obviously, we leave room for promoter information and whatnot. I work with Brian Todd closely. He's a great partner of ours at Sunset Speedway. And, you know, I don't want to put myself in a box here, but the rule state will start 26 cars that day. You know, unfortunately, guys are going to go home, but I think that's what the fans want to see. That's the level of competition we're at.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot to get into that race, you can guarantee it. Qualifying has always been a premium. How does the APC qualify? I know what it does, but I'm going to ask you, how does the APC series qualify?
Well, for that first race, we'll start straight up. It'll be group qualifying, and, you know, you're asking me. Daryl Turman might tell me I'm wrong here, so this is an estimate, but I believe we start straight up for the first race, and then after that we invert the top 10 based on points. So the top 10 qualifiers at the second event, the first place points guy will start 10th, the second place point guy will start 9th, and so on. So we try to make sure that the top guys of the points are racing each other, but they got to come through the field too.
Yeah, and there's the show, right? It's tough to do too with the competition, Junior. You know how tight it is. You spot for some of these guys. It's tight all the way through the field.
100%. And the invert process, you know, I think back to, you know, the nice part is it's not a full invert or a crazy invert number. The fast guys are still with the fast guys, and it creates good racing. I think back to the Sobel race, not last year, but the year prior, where they went green to checkered, right, at Sobel Speedway. Brandon Watson started 10th. Andrew Gazell started 9th, I believe.
Right.
But, you know, and then it was flipped from there. And Brandon Watson ended up winning that race. And, you know, it was exciting to make 10 green flag passes in the 100-lap length. You know, that creates excitement. There was not a dull moment in that race, but there wasn't a yellow flag or a wreck either. Nobody came home with a bent fender. So now, not saying that doesn't happen in APC, because it's racing. Everybody's going to get into each other. But it creates good hard racing, and it creates opportunities for that. And that's the excitement level that you see when the APC guys hit the track. And really, it's a premier series. Now, that kind of leads me into my question, not necessarily a question, but comment. The amount of influence from chassis builders, are you noticing a big change in that, Luke? Obviously, for a long time, late model racing in Ontario was dominated by one or two guys, really. You know, Port City, there was a few cars, and then there was a lot of McCall cars. over the last couple of years, from the outside looking in, it seems like there's like 5 to 6 mainstream chassis builders now with vested interest in the series. Are you seeing that growth as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people are taking note. I've been fortunate enough to make some friends in the U.S. from some chassis builders and also guys who run the series down there just to benchmark ourselves. I mean, we're happy with where we are, but we know we can always be better. And one thing we're excited about is we want lots of diversification within the chassis builders. We think that makes all the teams better. I think even the chassis builders that are here today would agree. They want to test their stuff against the guys from the U.S. And, you know, we've got a bunch of people. I mean, there's Hamke, there's McCall's, there's White Motorsports. We've got Joey Jr., you know better than me.
Yeah.
We've got Port City, Fury. We've got everything out there.
Absolutely.
So, yep. I think that's what the fans want to see. I think it's good for racing. I think it's good for teams to have options.
Absolutely, 100%.
We're going to see Kenny Wallace. He's going to be jumping into the series come July 27th at Jukasa. Are we going to see Schrader that same night? Is he coming in?
I don't know. I talked to Mr. Schrader, and I've got a little bit of a friendship, and he's coming up in a couple weeks here to hang out and do some things with some of the great APC customers. I met Kenny Wallace on a cruise, actually, a couple years ago, and we just kind of, he's also part of the Federated Auto Parts group back in the day, and we know each other, and we said, let's have some fun. So he's going to come up and join us for a night. I think he's a great ambassador to our sport. He's a lot of fun. Great. You guys have obviously met him with the deal at Riverside, and he's very positive, which sometimes I think our sport lacks, is a positive look on things. So I agree with a lot of things he does and says, and I just think it'd be great to have him up here for a couple of days. We're going to have some fun there. Alex Nagy and the team from Jukasa wanted to get involved and do something special. And I think that Thursday night race, although, I mean, it's not great for everyone's schedule, we've got lots of notice. Shweika's going to run on the Monday, Tuesday with a couple big races. For a race fan, that's a week to take off and go have some fun with your family.
Oh, no 100%. Kidding. Yeah, there's Speed Week Canada, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. That's a great one, Joe. We might have to steal that.
Yeah.
100%, man. When you look at that event and you know, kind of across the board on the schedule side, this year is a very unique schedule. And, a tip of the hat to you is because it's a risk when you do take and change dates, right? It was for the longest time there was, you know, Sundays and Saturdays only. And now when you look at the schedule, the doubleheader at Sauble is going to be one of the biggest events in all of Canada on prolate model racing, I think.
Yeah,
and there's no bias in that. I don't work for Sauble at all, but I think that there's going to be just an incredible amount of people there. And then as well, the Thursday night at Jukasa, I mean, a midweek race, it as long as there's enough advance time notice, and really I've known about that race since, what, September of last year?
Yep.
So the advance notice, everybody's going to be able to take it off, and it's a driver's racetrack. If you're not there, you're crazy. It's going to be a massive event as well. So not to take away from a regular Saturday night, but I think those two events are definitely a risk in your side, but a calculated risk, and it's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, we got to try things. I think that Sauble weekend, I think that's going to be a ton of fun. I think we'll pack the track both nights. You know, the teams are excited. I've heard of nothing but positive things about that. It's going to be a big weekend at Sauble Beach. And it's the busiest weekend of the year for the town and whatnot, so it only makes sense for us to be there and showcase our series. The Thursday night at Jukasa, we've got to try different things. Alex is, you know, Alex, Maggie, and his team, they're always up for, let's do something different. And the other thing is, people don't realize, it doesn't affect any Saturday night short term. We're not taking fans away from any other track. It's a Thursday night. It gives people a chance, an opportunity to go do something different. So I think it's good for the industry again.
Absolutely. If you just tuned in, we are with Luke Ramsey. He is the president of the APC Series, presented by Grisdale. Things are going to kick off for the APC Series this coming holiday weekend. We got May 18th coming up at Sunset Speedway. You want to be there for the Daco 100. This is going to it's going to be a great way to kick off your season, I can guarantee it. Luke, got to ask you something here. Looking down the road, can you ever see the day where we start getting into more laps in the APC series?
That was
150,
my question.
200, 250, can you see the day?
Yes, it's coming. You know, we started something that was a very, we never had the expectations for where it is today, but we're also, we've got big plans. The guys, I'm very fortunate to work with the people I work with, that they believe in racing, and they want to support, you know, this series in a big way. We see the next step is we're going to have 150-lap, 200-lap races. It's coming. We just, you know, we're going to continue to take small steps. We're proud of where we are, but it doesn't mean we're happy with where we are either. So it's definitely coming. There was talks of doing something this year, but I think that you'll definitely see something as far as with some pit stops and adding some strategy to the races by 2020.
That's excellent. That's cool. And I was throwing a dart at you because that was my question completely. That was my next one. And but that's definitely
funny.
See,
you're just a little bit behind.
Just a little bit behind.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. A lot behind if you look at the 8 year of birth.
Well,
a lot behind.
Keep it up. Keep it up. I'll put a lock on the fridge.
That's
then
right.
You're done.
I know. The beer fridge or the food fridge?
Both.
All right,
David.
Yeah. So looking at. You know, we've got to, we always talk about the business side of motorsports, you know, I do. But you, of course, wear a lot of hats, and you are, you know, APC on the marketing side, and then you are also the APC series. So I want to touch base kind of to give everybody a little bit of help in the industry, because you do think about the industry side and the impact of everything that you do. But I want to, you know, kind of pull some knowledge from you for our listeners who are late model drivers or super stock drivers who want to build their brand presence and kind of gain access to sponsors. What would be a couple of pieces of advice that you would give to guys that are looking for sponsors, that are knocking on doors, not necessarily from APC, but from anybody?
Yeah, listen, I think it's all about getting, you know, activation, then getting people to the track. And I've always said that, you know, from APC standpoint, we put our name on the side of the car. And we there's some real old guys that drive around with APC on their car. That's just a shot at my buddy Coxie because I know he's listening. But, you know, honestly, it's all about people getting people to the track, having some fun with it, building some brand loyalty. But, you know, it's you got to be positive. And so much my biggest thing with Joe Jr. with racing is, guys can get negative, and they get negative towards the track. They get negative towards the guys they race with, and it's be positive. Look at the positive. You know the car, wrecks are going to happen. Stuff's going to go on. Stay positive, because nobody wants to tie their name to somebody that's, you know, putting negative stuff out there on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So that's a big thing. And then don't just take the money and run away. Be there. Do press releases. Do race recaps. And get them to the racetrack and bring their people. And I mean, I know it sounds really simple, and it's not that easy, but it's that's where I believe it works.
Absolutely, and I've said that for a long time. Is make sure you know buy 10 tickets and give them to a guy that you want to be a sponsor. You know, like
that's
a cool investment. Is once people get to the racetrack and they have somebody to cheer for, they're more apt to open that pocketbook and to sponsor you, right? To take that step. So that's great advice. I love that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, people love to win. I don't care what it's at. People like to see their name, and they like to be competitive and get out there and get someone involved. And once you get them to the track, you'll be amazed what happens. I agree with you 100%.
Okay, I want you to take that hat off now and put your APC hat on where you're at work. How's the store count coming along? APC stores, of course, we see them in every community or a whole pile of them. How is the store count coming?
Well, I should know. Well, I think we're 50 or 51 now. We've got three new stores coming here before the end of 2019. You know, we're trying to grow as fast as we can. We've got, you know, incredible team of people that we work with. There's over 450 employees now. I believe it's 400 independently owned drivers. We're having lots of fun, but it's all a great group of people for sure.
Unreal to see how far APC has come over the years. Pretty amazing, and keep on going, man. I can't wait. We've got an APC store right here in Owen Sound. I'll tell you what, that's where I shop, and I don't shop there just because of you, Luke. I shop there because it's a dynamite place. They got everything you need and when you need it at the right price.
I just got a wheel bearing from there.
Yeah, you did.
I appreciate that.
You did. I got the paint for my truck. I need to touch it up.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I'm going to do. But, Luke, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know we're all excited to get that green flag in the air. And I can imagine you're with us.
Yeah, guys, I got to thank you for everything you guys do as well for the industry. You guys are a big supporter and help out so many series, teams, and tracks. So thanks again for everything you guys are doing for us.
You betcha, my man. We're all in this together. Can't wait to get the green flag in the air, Luke. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Luke Ramsey from APC doing a dynamite job. That series, I can remember talking to Luke when it was a concept, when he was saying, you know what? I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? And just go, man. Go. To see where it is today and to see you got plans. He's got plans down the road. We hear him now.
It's not reactionary. No. It's all progressive and absolutely.
Look down the road and see some longer races. This has got a bright future, the APC Series, right here in Ontario. I can see it growing, man.
Yep. Well, really, the Pro Late Model Division, if you like watching the Pro Late Model Division, the APC Series is single-handedly responsible for reviving it.
Sure,
you know, because really, when All Star left, the regular tracks and the invitationals were solidly attended, and that kind of started to dwindle a bit, you know, over the years, and really it was gone. The only track that had pro late models, quote unquote, anymore, was Delaware and Flamborough, right? Those were the only ones that had them, that could see them, that could take them in. Everybody had different variations and kind of, you know, everybody had a different variation of a late model, whether it be a limited or whether it be a 603 ACT car over on the eastern side, or, you know, there was a million different variations of what a late model was. And now I know there's still the limited late model division at Peterborough Speedway and, of course, at Delaware, Sunset. But really, when you look at Sauble now, you look at Flamborough and Delaware, both divisions are the exact same rules. You can take a Delaware car and run them at Sauble.
Sure.
And you can run a Flamborough car at Delaware. You know, they have revived and brought the car counts back and brought those names back. We talked a little bit about the names that are at Delaware Speedway now. They're the guys who used to be there. They're kids, right? And you're seeing that influx in. And
the next generation.
They've done a lot for it here in Ontario. They've done a great job. And, you know, one thing that I didn't necessarily wanted to ask, but I know that they're probably still listening. I would love to see a combo race between the Pro Stock Tour and the APC Tour.
Oh, could you imagine? You know, that would be cool.
A combo race somewhere would be phenomenal, and I think that I know that we have the Nationals at Jukasa,
right?
And that, you know, acts as a combo, but it's not necessarily the tours working together,
right?
You know, I think there's so many similarities between the APC Tour and the Parts for Trucks Tour. There's direct similarities, vested interest in growth and in competition, and incredible growth. It's a bugger that there is 1,000 kilometers between the two.
Even more. 1,500? A couple thousand.
That's definitely a difficult part, but I absolutely love it.
Well, you never know what the future holds, and that's the cool part. I can tell you we're in for a dynamite 2019, and listeners to Racetime Radio, you're not going to miss a lap of the opener of the APC Series, and then we're off to the east coast of Canada to bring you the Parts for Trucks Tour from Scotia Speed World. But I got to tell you, we are getting close here where we got to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date. Small news package takes 90 seconds, and then we're coming back at you for hour number two tonight. We got J.R. Fitzpatrick coming up. And one of his arch rivals back in the day, Kerry Mix, is going to join
the show.
That's
a way back playback.
We will be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us here tonight on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And we are back with you live tonight in the Race Time Radio studio. Got to thank you so much for tuning in tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello to you. Or how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com, re-airing Racetime Radio three times a week, just in case you happen to have missed it, or maybe Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe you're tuned in throughout the course of the week and you had missed the program and you're getting caught up, and you did that probably by going to iTunes and searching Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe when you do that. And then each and every time we do a Racetime Radio episode, you will get it automatically off of iTunes. Whichever way you've tuned in, thank you, and we do absolutely appreciate it. Junior, it was a big weekend at Dover. I know we lost the cup race to rain. It's going to happen tomorrow. But the truck race was big issue on Friday night, man. It was Johnny Sauter going to victory lane.
It was. It was a good show. It was an early show. It was kind of nice that, they got out of the box early enough. It wasn't the 9 o'clock when they're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, they dropped the green flag while it was still daylight. And it seemed like a great race. Johnny Sauter, of course, picking up that first win with ThorSport, back in a ThorSport truck. So not the first win with ThorSport, but the first win back in ThorSport truck.
Back in ThorSport. And we've got a quick clip with Johnny Sauter from the media center on that night. And he was asked, are you guys the threat now to win the championship? Johnny's always a threat. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I honestly felt that way even from day one when I walked into the shop and just saw the progression of ThorSport from the last time I was there. I told you this at Vegas, I think. You know, that program has come a long way, just the way that it's set up with the Finish Fab Shop. And I know I talk about that stuff a lot. People go, oh, what propaganda, whatever. But I'm telling you, that's how you win and lose races, is preparation and all that back at the shop. So, this is awesome. I knew after Atlanta, I felt like we kind of let it slip away a little bit, that we were going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then Martinsville, I felt like we had the truck to beat and had some trouble there with the plug wire and all that. And I lost my cool a little bit that day, but I know that's hard to believe. But, you just got to keep doing it, you know, week in and week out, and just stay focused on what you can control and what you can't control. And today, I just kept my wits about me. Obviously, when the motor wouldn't fire back up, I don't know why, but I won't do that again. But just so proud of everybody at ThorSport. This is so cool. Duke and Rhonda, they don't know what they mean to me personally. And to get them a win, you know, they've meant so much to the Truck Series, and I don't think they get near enough credit for how long they've been around here and just how hard they've worked and how much money they've spent. And to get Ford an F-150 in victory lane, that's the ultimate. So for this deal to come together so late like it did and to be sitting where we are right now, we got a lot of work to do, but good group of guys, man, and they're hungry.
Good on Johnny for getting the win, right? That's huge. You got to get a win, and then you can, you know, take that. The pressure to win starts to come off, and that usually means more wins.
Yeah, definitely.
That's usually what happens,
well,
right?
It allows you to be a little bit more flexible with the setup and, you know, trying stuff to get ready for the chase or to get ready for the run to the cup. You know, he mentioned something in that interview that really, you know, perked my ears up, and it's true. Duke and Rhonda Thorson don't get nearly enough credit for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's because they only get it in the truck series and they only race in the truck series. But
they've been a staple in the
truck
series.
They are a staple and like through and through staple. And the amount of equipment and personnel that they bring to the racetrack rivals that of any cup team.
Sure.
It's incredible how many people they bring to the racetrack and, you know, the distance that they have to travel to a majority of the races, of course, being from Ohio as opposed to from, you know, North Carolina is a big one. You know, they don't necessarily race up north a whole lot. It's
right.
All down south. So,
yeah.
But the caliber of equipment that they bring, you know, it seems like every single race they've got two or three drivers and trucks that can, you know, win the race. So, it's definitely a big statement. You know, looking at, you know, how ironic it is, Brett Moffitt, of course, got the pole for the race and in the GMS truck. And then Johnny Sauter went out and won his first race. And I know there's you know, it's kind of behind the scenes. There's a little bit of bad blood there between
there would be,
Johnny
yeah.
Sauter. You know, going back to the interviews that, you know, once he was released and all that stuff. And, you know, I think it was a little bit of extra motivation for Johnny Sauter to get
sure.
out there and get that win. So, but I think that you can't count Johnny Sauter out. If he's in a well-funded truck, you can't count him out to be a championship contender. That being said, I don't think that ThorSport has shown the speed to this point
yet. Yeah.
That's, you know, when you look at they're in contention and they're a top five or a top three truck, but and you can get a win by being a top three or top five vehicle at any race.
You look at the talent they got behind the wheel, you got Matt Crafton in the yep. 88. You've got Grant Anfinger.
Yep.
He's another one that's
yep.
going to win. You yep. got to know that he's going to win. You got Johnny Sauter, and of course, you got Ben.
Yep.
Ben, like all four
and then
of those
Myatt
guys
Snyder
can go
sometimes.
Win. And Myatt but, sometimes, yeah,
yeah. For sure.
But they've got outstanding driver talent. The cool part about the Gander Truck Series, that's the same series. If you're new to racing up here in Canada, you're just getting into it now. You see the truck series. You know that it's there. That's the same truck series that's coming to Canada to CTMP. Tickets are on sale now for the Silverado 250 weekend. Check it out. Like, honestly, that truck race, that series coming into Canada is huge. That's Canada's ultimate NASCAR weekend. You got the Pindy series. You got the truck series, both on the racetrack. That same weekend, tell you what, it's a dynamite weekend, and that Truck Series Junior always puts on a dynamite race. I don't care what track they're at, they are always a great show.
Oh, it doesn't matter what track they're on, but at CTMP, it ratchets up another 5 points, especially now that it's, you know, in the championship run. You know, it's a playoff race, and the amount of excitement that is generated just from that race every single year is off the charts. This year is going to be even more so.
Oh yeah.
I can, you know, it's such an incredible event. If you haven't taken in a truck race at CTMP, if you've just watched it on TV, it doesn't do it justice. You need to be there.
It's a
massive event.
We're going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Christopher Bell. He also went to Victory Lane this weekend at Dover. We got a clip with them. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is Dave Jacobs, Racetime Radio. We'll be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's a brand new season in the APC Late Model Series.
Have a gold green.
Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up because this is going to get wild.
Flag to flag coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know you got to do.
The Daco 100, race one in the APC Late Model Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and... hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for seven long months.
It's live, flag-to-flag coverage of the Cummins 150.
Have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flag-to-flag coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you tonight on Racetime Radio. Junior Dover was... oh, before I get to this clip with Christopher Bell, let's wish Jerry Paxton a happy birthday. Today is Jerry Paxton's birthday. Can you imagine?
Happy 65th birthday,
no,
Mr. Paxton.
No, he's not 65. He's not 65. He's, I don't know, probably 55.
All right.
Okay, maybe he is a little older than 55.
Josh will back me up. It's happy 65th.
Is it?
I don't know.
Is it? No, he's not. No, he's not 65. If maybe, he is, he don't 66. Look like it.
66?
Yeah. Well, you're going to be able to see him in turn two at whatever live broadcast we do. That is Jerry's turn. Turn the, one and two.
This will likely be a cuss-filled text message that I will get from him.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, he'll have... you'll have a little bit in there, I can well imagine. Okay, Dover, the NASCAR Xfinity Series was on the racetrack, and it was Christopher Bell in that number 20, not only going to victory lane, how about picking up an extra 100K? That's the final dash, though, race, isn't it? I think it is. I think it is.
I don't know the answer to that.
I think it is, but it was Christopher Bell grabbing that 100 grand along with the win. Here's what he had to say in the media center after the race.
It was really good. Our car was really, really fast, and I knew right from the get-go that we had a really nice piece. And, you know, we were just kind of stuck behind there. And at this racetrack, whenever on short runs, the racetrack's just really fast, and it's pretty hard to pass. But as soon as it starts to widen out, then you can start making moves on guys. So, you know, I can make a couple runs on the double zero, but I wasn't ever really able to pass him. And then, you know, getting us out front there and having short runs at the end was the key.
better have my mic on, right?
That would be...
I had the wrong button. Christopher spoke real fast that time. I thought it was longer than that, but...
The buttons are way over there. I can't
good
even
race
help you.
For him. I didn't see the race, but you did.
I did, yeah. It was, I mean... It was a mile and a half race on a 1 mile high bank. It is what it is. It seemed like they
did. They get spread out.
They did.
Did they?
Reddick tried to make it exciting a couple of times, but every time that they got side by side, the guy on the bottom just couldn't get anywhere, just simply because of the air. You know,
really?
The air just. It simply, as soon as the guy would drive up the inside of somebody in the center of the corner, the side force would go away, and the car would just step out sideways. And then,
would want to get loose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the outer lane, you know, seemed to have a slight advantage. The bottom lane was faster if you were by yourself.
Right.
But as soon as anybody got up side by side with anybody, they needed to have significant room between the two cars in order to break it through. And it'll be really interesting because, you know, looking at the cup package, obviously, they've been talking about the speeds and everything. The center of the corner speed with this new package at Dover for the Cup Series guys is through the roof.
Are they going to stick any better than the Xfinity cars?
I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think that anybody does. I think that tomorrow's race should be pretty exciting. But it's going to be a very grueling race for the guys just simply because of the center of the corner speed on landing.
Right.
Looking at all the data from, that we could possibly get from watching the Xfinity race, I mean, more center of the corner speed is not going to help that situation at all.
No.
So I think it's going to be more conducive to single file racing than even what the Xfinity guys have for a package. But it'll be interesting to see. I think the race will play out. It is always exciting on a restart at Dover. It's just that type of racetrack. It's tight quarters. Everything happens in a hurry.
It's fast.
And,
yeah.
It's definitely a self-cleaning racetrack. So any time that you get into that situation or with an inside wall, which this one has both, there's going to be some carnage. And I think that the fans are going to get their money's worth. Is it going to be good for side-by-side racing, though? That's the big question across the entire board. I don't know the answer.
Well, it usually is. With the Cup Series, if you see something in Xfinity, usually when the Cup Series hits the track, it's just a titch better, right? For side-by-side type racing, hopefully it's that. Now, with Xfinity, of course, last year we had Alex Labbe was full-time in the Xfinity Series. Not so this year. He's ran a couple of races, but a release came out, I don't know whether it was Thursday or Friday last week. Alex Labbe is full tilt in the NASCAR Pindy Series this year. So that's great news to see that we got another guy coming into Pindy's.
Partnered back up with Dave Jacombs.
So, championship bound.
Championship bound. They're definitely going to be pouring all efforts towards that. Going to be very interesting to see what they roll to the racetrack with. I don't think it was a surprise to anybody to learn that news, that he was going to be full-time. It was a surprise to me that it was back with Dave. I didn't know what Dave had planned for 2019, and now we all know. So it's going to be really interesting. There seemed to be a lot of equipment and a lot of personnel over at the Quebec auto show that was taking place last week over in Quebec. So there was a couple of new faces and definitely some current faces from the Pinty series that were there. That's definitely the big news that came out of the show is that Alex Labbe is officially back full time in the Pinty series.
Now,
so
that's not to say that you're not going to see him in Xfinity every now and then.
I think you're still going to see him in some capacity. And I think that you're going to see more of Donald Teague as well with the DGM team in the Xfinity Series. But both of them, I believe that you're going to see, sprinkled throughout the season when they can. But great to have him back.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it is cool, to see him racing on a Saturday on TV. But to for the Canadian race fan to have him back on this side of the border racing full time in Pinty's. You know, he's another championship hopeful.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
when you look at the improvements to the teams that were existing, when you look at the changes to the teams that were relatively new last year and going through some healthy changes for into this year,
right?
And you look at the addition of just simply Alex Labbe and Dave Jacombs together, there's some heavy hitters lined up for 2019 in the Pinty Series.
Yeah, good luck picking the champion early this year.
I mean, when you look at, you know, the field was relatively stacked last year towards the front half.
Right.
And even more so this year, because I feel that, you know, the partnership that WMI and CBRT have going is going to be a very potent mixture.
You think?
When you look at what, you know, Whitey and what Whitey's able to do with DJK.
Right.
I know they're not a DJK and WMI combo. You know, it's not under the same roof. But that being said, the how they work together and that brand identity of Mopar, Anthony Simone he's a hell of a wheelman.
Oh, Alex, Simone can do it.
He's had his own program for a long time in the
right.
Pinty Series.
Yep.
And I don't believe that it's ever been a focal point for him
right.
to go out and win races. I think that they've poured a lot of effort into trying to do that.
Right.
But I don't think that it's been the only thing that they think about.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at what they have going, Anthony Simone with full-time sponsorship, partnered up with Joey McComb and WMI.
Yeah, how exciting is that for Joey McComb this year? That guy has gone from a single-car team,
yeah.
what Joey McComb used to be,
yeah.
To look at Joey McComb and what he's got going on today.
They've got a lot.
What a difference.
They've got a lot. And yeah. when you add that into the mix, they're going to elevate the program for Brett Taylor Racing.
Yep.
They're going to skyrocket the program for Anthony Simone, the addition of the 36 team, and nobody out of the front half of the field from last year is dropping out.
No.
They're only swinging for the fences even more and getting more aggressive. So, really, we added three names to that list from last year, we haven't taken anything away. So, that is something that is really crucial, and I think that it makes the Pinty's championship even a little bit harder to win this year.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk more Pinty's with Kerry Mix. That'll be coming up. But let's get back to the hotline and welcome in our next guest. This guy was the APC champion last year. He got the season kicked off just last night at Flamborough Speedway. He did it in style. He did it in Victory Lane. Let's welcome in J.R. Fitzpatrick. What's going on, kiddo? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Fantastic, man. You got her kicked off the right way last night. Double features, you got one of them. What happened in race one before we get to the winning one?
We had a little bit of a stagger issue. It grew quite a bit because we started our left rear tire so low, thinking that the track would tighten up, but the track had, you know, a lot of speed last night, so a little too free, but, you know, to come back from 11th to 4th, you know, that's pretty tough to do. Flamborough had a lot of really good cars last night. There was, I believe, 18 cars there, so it was an awesome turnout. And fourth, I guess I'll take it. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Good deal. Then you parlayed that into race number two. What were they, 35-lap features, JR? How many laps?
They were double 30s.
Double 30s. So that they're a sprint, right? You haven't got a long time in that car. You got to go.
Yeah, And I guess I'm pretty good at doing that, I guess, but I've also been so used to long races, so it's 30 laps, you know, I barely break a sweat at that. I'd practice more than that. But, you know, everything worked out really well. We started 8th, I believe, on the outside, and the car, once we fixed that stagger issue, it was just literally on rails. It was one of the best cars I've ever had at Flamborough, and it was tricky to pass a couple guys, but a few guys, once I got to the outside, they just let me go, and it made my job a little bit easier, and like I said, man, that car was just absolutely flawless.
So does that make you question at all bringing that car back to Flamborough or for the APC race when they roll into town? Or are you dead set on running the Van Dorn car?
Well, this car I have here, honestly, is a lot of influence from Van Dorn. So I'm hoping that after today, I know that the new one's going to be even better than what I had last night. So I'm looking forward to this year, man. We're hard at it. We're pumped and looking forward to get the APC stuff going.
So this is the second time that you've been out testing as well. Of course, you raced at Flamborough, but you got some test laps in at Delaware last week, if I'm not mistaken, and then as well today over at Sunset Speedway by the looks of it.
Yeah, Delaware was more of a just make sure everything was tight and didn't fall off. The track was pretty dirty and whatnot, but... Yeah, today everything went really well. There was eight cars there, all McCall cars, and then there was the lone me in the corner. But like I said, everything was really, really good today. We worked on drivability and the positivity of the front end was just flawless. I'm excited, man. And we're on that little harder tire this year, so trying to learn it at Flamborough last night and at Sunset today, it's all going to be positive things for us in the APC Tour.
So you got to tiptoe, if it's a little harder tire, you got to tiptoe early until you get some heat in them. But after there's heat in those tires, JR, do they feel the same as the other ones?
Yeah, I can tell they're a little harder because you're exactly right. You know, it takes a few more laps to get the heat in them. And once the heat, well, my car anyway, once the heat got to them, you know, the car was really good, so... I'm pumped, man. I'm really looking forward to it. And geez, I think if I'm leading the Flamborough points now, I might have to try and make that work for the whole year now.
There's $5,000 on the line, right, from APC.
Yeah. That's I know.
That's big money. You gotta run for it now, right?
If you tell Laura that, I will be running there.
Okay.
Well, that's a simple deal. I'm gonna shoot that message right now over there.
Yeah.
It's been a busy, busy off season for you. You getting a couple of cars prepared. What's it been like? It must have been really busy.
Yeah, you know, we prepared. It didn't need a lot of work, but we helped Daryl Lake get obviously his car ready. He was there testing today too, getting used to the late model stuff. So we were busy with that and prepared two cars from Van Dorn. One's mostly a CRA type style car, but it can be an APC spare within probably a day's work. And then I got my old car that I've been having a lot of fun with at Flamborough lately, and we completely revamped it, and it's been really good. I mean, we tested there last week, then we raced there last night and had a lot of fun. So it makes everything worth it. You know, when you put all that work in, you do your own setups, all your own work, you know, my guys are getting a little more pumped up now. It's been a long couple days for us here, but I think they're starting to get pumped up after the product that we showed last night and today.
So now, a couple weeks back, we didn't have you on the program, but you made the trip down to the Icebreaker race at Berlin. Now, you just mentioned that you built a semi-close CRA car. How hard is Johnny and those guys twisting your arm to get down and to run a couple CRA races on the other side of the border?
I mean, they definitely would like to see that. But, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm all about the focus on the big picture. So, you know, that car is going to be more or less a backup APC car / test for Jocasta for the big race. You know, I'm pretty excited about that big race, you know, but luckily enough, I get to race Jocasta a bunch of times this year, so I'm really looking forward to all those races because I just got a modified ride last week with LLR team and Kelly Balson, so looking forward to doing that with the Pinty's cars, and yeah, can't wait.
You're going to be a busy dude, going to run another car for Tim Ellis at the beach for the NASCAR championship up there. You are going to be one real busy cat. I don't know when you're going to find time to work.
Yeah, well... You know, hey, we got to start early and hopefully be ready for race time. But, you know, I just got thinking, too, like if I'm leading the points, I'm going to take a serious shot at the Flamborough Championship. I might have to tell Kelly, we got to try and find somebody else getting that car.
Yeah, you're going to have some fun balancing out all the schedules you've got. But you'll be back to Flamborough Speedway next Saturday night, will you?
Yeah, I'm going to go back and play. Because the cool thing, they only have one tire a night rule. So it's affordable to go and have some fun. And it just gets you prepared for the big show, you know, like. The competition there is really good. There's a lot of new rookies there, which is great to see. And late model racing is on the upswing. Everybody's been saying that for the last few years, but it really is this year. Like, a lot of guys are out. So, you know, I look forward to racing with them all and helping them all if they need it and continue to keep trying to win races. But APC posted a picture of that nice new championship trophy, and it's got me pretty hungry to go after that. And I'm sure it's got, 22 other guys excited for it, too.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, that has a tendency of doing that. JR, 60 laps on that set of new skins last night. How did the tires look when they came off? Did they look pretty good? Can you get another full night out of them?
Yeah, they're pretty good. It's just they're a much harder tire, so I'm curious what they're going to be like after sitting for a week and going back out. You know, I think they're going to be kind of like hockey pucks for sitting that long, but it's, you know, everybody's got to fight the same battle. So Flamborough does a good job at maintaining their tire inventory rules. You know, Glenn does a good job. So, you know, there's no softening, nobody sneaking a tire in, you know, they're all over it. So everybody's on an equal playing field there. And that's my only concern with them sitting and going through that long cycle. I think they're going to harden up quite a bit. But for APC, I mean, I did a lot of consistent long runs today, and the tires stayed very consistent, and the lap times were consistent. So they're a little slower than last year's tire, but I think they're a little more durable.
Can you tell that you're in a different car when you jump into it? Do the two cars feel totally different, or would you maybe even be surprised on how equal they feel?
Well, I mean, that's funny that you asked that, because the cars are quite a bit. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us, JR?
Oh, hi.
There you go.
The cars are quite a bit different, but just little things, right, that take time to get used to. Seating position, where your gauges are, where your switches are, and whatnot. And one car is a Ford, one car is a Chev, and so it takes a little bit to get used to your surroundings and whatnot, but handling-wise, you know, they're both pretty darn good, I mean, but two different tracks. So, you know, like I said, I'm happy and lucky enough to be able to drive such good cars, because last night was one of those nights where it was just a pile of fun to drive.
Well, that's good news for race fans, the people paying at the gate. When you're having fun, I know they're going to have fun in the grandstand. Is that it for practice for you now? Each time you jump in, it's going to be for real.
Oh, come on now. JR tests like no tomorrow.
Some people think I'm ruining racing because I test so much.
Not even close. That's what makes racing exciting. But JR tests like no tomorrow. He does test a lot. You do. And that's what makes your program so good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just one of those deals where I want to test and want to try stuff. And I can tell you, from the time we went and tested, from the Saturday to last night, we changed everything on the car. And it was good when we tested, and it just gave us an excuse to try and make it better.
Yeah, and that's what you guys do all the time. And I guess that's why you get checkered flags, too. You're always looking for more speed.
Well, and with the competition being so high, I mean, you have such good quality race teams and drivers in the APC Tour, especially, and at these short tracks like the Flamborough, Delaware, and Sauber that are running the Prolate programs, that you got to stay on top of it, man, or you're gonna fall behind. You know, like, I keep going back to the manufacturers that are out there. You know, you got the Shaws, you got the McCalls, you know, there's some Port Cities, and now you got Van Dorn, so. There's a lot of people taking this APC thing very serious, and they have a lot of cars out there, so they can really learn more than what they're just learning off a single car. So, you know, we got to get out there and try stuff, or you'll be behind.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. So far, you're ahead. You're one up on everybody. Good on you, JR, for getting the victory.
Thank you. Yeah, and like I said, we'll just keep digging and try and get some more.
Hey, my dad brought up a very special point here. The guy who we have on right after you is your arch nemesis from back in the day. It's Kerry Mix. I know you guys have ironed stuff out dramatically, but is there anything you want us to pass along to Kerry?
Just ask him if he misses me.
We will, for sure.
We will, absolutely.
Very politically correct, by the way. You are getting older.
Well, hey, you know what? It's one of those deals. No different than when Andrew Ranger and I had our little issue, and Kerry and I have always raced each other extremely, may I put a capital on that, extremely hard. But I must say, I can guarantee you at a lot of those Barry Speedway races or Mossport, all those back in the day, I can guarantee you people went home and said that was exciting because Kerry is one of those big, deep, hard-nosed, short-track racers. And I grew up watching him and Thompson, Whitlock, Gibbons, all those guys, and they're all phenomenal short-track racers. So I never thought when I was younger I'd be able to grow up and say I'd be obviously, you know, beating them, but racing with them, and never thought I'd be going at it with Kerry Mix on and off the track either. But it's just it's all good for racing, man. Kerry and I get along good now. You know, you say hi. That's about as far as we go, but we always say hi to each other.
Good cool. stuff. We'll pass on the message, JR. Congratulations on the win, and we look forward to catching up with you. The next time we'll see you, we'll be calling the race live from Sunset Speedway, the Daco 100. Bud, we'll see you over there.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
You betcha. That is JR Fitzpatrick. Got the season kicked off.
Yes. Got it kicked off in the right direction, and sounds like both guys who were there that we're talking to tonight, Flamborough had a great car count, had great competition level, just a awesome kickoff to the 2019 season in prolate model racing.
Absolutely. Quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Pinty's. Castro Victoria Day Fest is coming up. And we're going to touch on all of that with Kerry Mix next. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Gord Bennett, owner of Full Throttle Motor Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. We'll be right back.
Like a dog with my nose to the ground.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's a brand new season in the APC Le Moto Series.
Have a gold green.
Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up because this is going to get wild.
Flight-to-flight coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know you got to do.
The Daco 100, race one in the APC Le Moto Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and, hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio.
There we go. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. What do you say we talk some NASCAR, Pinty's Racing, and we do it with a crafty veteran. This guy's gone to victory lane a ton of times in his 0-2. Let's welcome in Kerry Mix. What's going on there, Mixie? How you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, my friend. Man, we haven't spoken a long, long time, Kerry. It's great catching up with you once again.
Definitely. Yeah. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, so you're ready to go for Victoria Fest CTMP. You love running road course races as well as ovals.
Definitely. I'm not racing this year that much. I have a full deal with Mark Gilley and TJ. So, yeah, TJ's going to be running four races and Mark's running the 13 races. So. Yeah, it's going to be a fun year. We got lots going on, and we're starting out down there with two cars for the first race. So, yeah, this should be interesting.
Well, you'll be able to keep these guys on the straight and narrow and get them out there on the racetrack and get them out there to win. Kerry, you've done a lot of winning in your career now as an owner and as a guy that's going to be able to put the behind-the-scenes stuff together. That's saying a lot. That's going to be a lot of fun and a difference for you.
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of it with the two-car stuff off and on in the last few years. And this year is going to be pretty exciting. TJ, he's a pretty interesting guy, and we're hoping, he hasn't raced that much at all. He owns Sunset Speedway there, and he's just getting his feet wet into racing. He's always wanted to do it, so now he's doing it. So, we've been doing a lot of testing down at Toronto Motorsport Park and then down at CTMP as well. And, so things are going good. We're going back there this Friday doing a little more testing before the race.
Now, Kerry, is this the same TJ that you carried a sticker on your car a couple times that said TJ is now single? Or TJ is single? Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
I want
Mark Dilley's boss, and he owns Sunset. So he owns a bunch of different companies. He's just a great guy, and he wants to help us out in the racing, and he wants to do a little bit of racing himself. So,
absolutely.
And have some fun.
I want to know more about the story of getting that sticker put on the car. that will be good radio right there. How did that old deal come together?
Well, you know what? They just come to ask me if I would do it, and so I did it. And
that's
they,
awesome.
They helped me out as well with some sponsorship money and helped me get through some races. And yeah, it was just more of a joking thing, and now he's more into the serious deal, and it's going to work out good.
Absolutely.
Got to love it when a plan comes together. Kerry, is it just me, or does it seem like there's a whole lot more emphasis on the NASCAR Pinty Series this year? This is going to be exciting stuff.
Yeah, there's lots happening. There was a lot of cars down there. We went, it was NASCAR Day there last week, and I think there was 17 cars there. There was a whole bunch of people that weren't there, Kennington and, a list of them. So I don't know how many cars are registered right now, but I do know there's it's going to be exciting. There's a lot of interest, a lot of sponsors happening. We have a pile of new sponsors this year. NTN's back. That's a brand new deal. It's just going to happen We're putting it on everything right now. So that was a big announcement that's happening. And so, yeah, it's looking real good. We're really getting there, you know, what we're trying to be for a long time, and now we're finally getting there. So,
you know, you look back over the last few years, maybe the last 3 years, and Mark Dilley, when you get him out at Edmonton International, man, he's really, really good there, like stands out. And just, you know, like he's right there to win the race. What do you think this year? What are you looking at for tracks that you've got circled on the calendar saying, hey, this is our deal. We're going to do it right here.
Well, Saskatoon's a big event for us as well. That's home country for Leland and Byron Nelson. So we always try to do good there as well. We're heading out a bit early. We have some shows to do out there for Byron and Leland Industries. So we're that one's an important one for us. And then we got some the East Coast. Mark really likes that track. We had bad luck there last year, but he's finished up there, the top five, quite a few times. So I believe we'll do good out there as well.
Are you going to get in the car at all, or are you just going to take care of getting two of them prepared?
Yeah, I don't know as of right yet. Also, like we're just running the three cars right now, but I believe we're going to have the fourth car out, but I don't know, and that's the oval car, the second oval car, but we haven't got anything for sure there yet. And if that happens, I might get in it for a race or two and go from there.
It'd drive you nuts, Kerry, to not be in a race, at least one race, in a year.
Yeah, we raced a couple races last year, a few races actually, I think three or four races. We had a fourth place out in St. Eustache, so that was good. This series is very, very competitive now. We're on a new tire, general tire, and it's the cars are faster again this year. Alex put a press release out there, Alex Tagliani, and he was talking about it, saying how much faster they are, and he thinks that you know, all the track records are going to be broken this year with these new tires. So it's going to be interesting. And we've been out there, but we haven't put any of the new tires on. We're going to put them on this Friday, and then we'll know where we stand compared to some of the guys that's already put them on.
Oh, man, pretty exciting heading into a brand-new season with so much difference, too, right? And how about the big announcement that just came out at the end of last week? The NASCAR Pindy Series is going to be all live on Fans Choice TV. That's going to be huge as well. Fans can follow along absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's good news. Any time that you can get our racing out there more in any kind of way, social media, whatever it may be, is always good for our series. So.
Yeah, going to be dynamite stuff. So road course-wise, you're all set for that, or are you going to do any more laps? I know you said you're going to do some testing, but will that be oval? Will it be road course? Are you ready for CTMP?
No, both. We're going to do some testing this Friday. And then, we're going to do some oval testing as well. That's going to be after the first race. We're going to do some testing down. Probably it's a calf, I believe.
How about staff-wise on those cars? You got all the crew members you need, or are you looking for any more?
We're pretty geared up, except for we're still looking for one tire changer, actually, for Jakarta. Other than that, I think we're pretty well geared up with enough guys, but we do definitely need a tire changer for down there. They haven't got that one done. Ray's coming back, going to help us. At the road courses, so yeah, because there's only, I believe, three live pit stop races this year. The rest are all stop races.
Yeah, big old Ray, how's he doing?
Great. Yeah, he's doing good. I seen him yesterday up at Sunset there, because TJ was going to do some testing up there as well on the oval at Sunset, but got rained out, so we never got out there.
Yeah, dynamite nice guy. I always look forward to catching up with Ray when I hit the speedways. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's with us for a long time.
We do have to pass along a message. Of course, right before your interview, we talked to your arch nemesis from back in the day, and of course it was J.R. Fitzpatrick. So we asked if there was anything that he wanted to pass along to you, and he said to say hello and to ask if you missed him.
Definitely. We had a lot of good races, tough racing, but, you know, it was all good. It was good for the fans, and I always had fun racing with those guys. And, yeah, and I see he's doing good already this year. I believe he already won one feature.
Yep.
So I've seen that. Yeah, so no, good for them. It's always good to see some good racing, and he definitely can do that, so.
Cool.
Kerry, we've seen you in a late model from time to time. Are we going to see you this year in a late model when you got some spare time, which I don't think you're going to have any spare time, but can we look forward to maybe catching you in a late model somewhere?
Well, I'm trying. I have a super late model too, and we're not done with that. They're not allowing my motor that I had in there, so I got to change motors. So yeah, we're pulling that motor out of there this week, and then got to go from there. We don't know exactly where that stands yet, but we still have the super late model, so I'm trying to get out in whatever's going to happen there.
Nice. You never know, right? This has been fantastic catching up with you. I know I look forward to catching up with you at the Speedways at some point this year, but I always look forward to getting you on this radio show each and every time, Kerry. Make sure you're one of those standout guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and it's good to hear from you guys.
You betcha. You stay out of trouble, and good luck in race number one at CTMP, bud.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
You bet. That is Kerry Mix, one of those crafty veterans, Junior. I always love catching up with them.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, they were down at the Canadian Motorsports Expo down in Toronto at Motorama, and they did – you know, a massive unveiling, really, of Dilly going full-time, bunch of new sponsors, a whole pile of them. I didn't see the release that NTN was back. That's a long-standing relationship with Dilly as well.
Sure is.
That addition is definitely big. And they were full-time last year, of course, splitting back and forth for the last couple. To have him go after the championship again, have Mark back in for a championship run is big news. And you can tell that they're definitely taking a swing at it. You know, they're adding cars. And really picking up the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what they can put together. And they showed some amazing speed a couple of times last year throughout the season.
Right.
Not surprising, like they're a strong team and they always have been. But they showed some extremely fast numbers. I think back to Chaudière, Autodrome Chaudière, and right up front. Same with Edmonton, and a couple of times they snuck out some top four or top five qualifying efforts. So I think the mechanical gremlins that they faced and struggled with throughout the beginning portion of the season, if there was a needs improvement portion, that was where they needed improvement on. And it'll be interesting to see if they can, get that button down, because if they do, then they're going to be up front every single time.
Sure they are. And Dilly with a full-time deal, he hasn't written full-time in quite a few years.
Exactly.
Now back to a full-time deal. It's going to be interesting, because when Mark was full blast, he had a lot of victories. He was one of those guys that, when you talk about winners of tonight's race, you had to figure that guy into the mix.
Absolutely. I think back to Barry Speedway and the speed that he always showed, and thinking about the races at the shorter bullring style tracks, and then as well the tracks with a lot of character. He always ran pretty decent at Delaware Speedway, a bumpy old racetrack, and Mossport as well, and then even I think back to a couple of times where he showed some really strong speed out west out of that, the Motoplex.
Edmonton International.
So really the ability to get up there and post some numbers, it's there. And, having a driver full time in the seat means a lot. The team is going to build chemistry. And not to say that Kerry Mix and Mark Dilley, can't give good feedback as a group.
Right.
But one single driver, there's a lot of credibility that goes into it. especially in a full-time effort. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a big swing in the right direction for the team. And the feedback of having one singular driver or one point of contact is going to be huge. So looking forward to seeing what they can put together. And that's another name that we can add into that mix that we were talking about before, as a team that can come out and not necessarily surprise people, but run up front consistently.
And that's cool, too. With Fans Choice TV, they're going to be all live on there. That is that shocked me. It actually shocked me when I seen it because I didn't think we'd see that out of the NASCAR Pinty Series with a lot of the short tracks. When you can see the race and you can hear the race, you can do all of that. I don't know. If the weather's kind of inclement, is it going to affect the gate sales? I don't know.
I think it's so needed, though.
It is. I agree.
You know, when you look at
live coverage, it needs to be at all these major events. Yes. I don't care if it's radio or TV. Yeah. If it's TV, great.
If not, it
should be radio.
I would hazard to say that the NASCAR Pinty Series had, you know, out of the touring group, the touring series lineup that NASCAR has. So that is including the Mexico Series, the Pinty Series, the Euro Series, as well as the Whelen Modifieds, the K&N Series East and West. I would say, just from my knowledge of the sport, that the Pinty Series following size at the racetrack is bigger than all of the other ones.
Well, it's our national tour.
I mean, it's Mexico's national tour. It's the European national tour. But the following at a K&N race, which consistently gets ranked at a higher level than the Pinty Series, which I fully disagree. Yep. It's not higher. It's not even close to being higher.
No.
But that being said, the actual Pinty Series itself has the ability to attract the fans even without that live. I think with that live, it's only going to bolster it. Where on the flip side of that, I think that the live coverage actually hurts the K&N series a little bit because you have the ability to go to a cup race.
Well, didn't you say today there was nobody at the race? Wasn't that today?
It was.
It was both rain, and
you were coming back to the racetrack for 80 laps. I have went back for 80 laps? No, I wouldn't have. I would have flipped on Fans Choice TV, and I would have watched it.
Right.
But that being said, the competition level in the Pinty Series is 5 times that of the K&N Series right now.
Right.
The competition base, you know?
Yeah.
There's a couple of really good teams in the K&N Series. There's a couple of really good teams in the K&N West Series.
We got a lot of good teams in the Pinty Series.
There's a ton of really good teams, and they are... If you're a modified fan, you're a modified fan,
right?
I am not a modified fan. I will watch the modifieds, but I will go to a racetrack if they have a 50-lap late model race and they have a 200-lap modified race. I will get more excited about the 50-lap late model race.
Right.
But that's just me. There's a million and one guys that would say, or girls, that would say that they want to go to the race and they want to watch the modifieds. But when you look at the Pinty Series, the amount of competition that is in that series, it's astounding. There are 15 guys that can win the race any given weekend.
Right.
And when you look at the practice chart, when you look at the time trial chart, and when you look at the race chart of lap times, the parity is unmatched. And that's why I think that is going to help. Fans Choice is going to help the Pinty Series.
Well, here's fingers crossed. I hope it does. I hope it works really good. 100%. I know I'm going to be able to catch a lot of races that I wouldn't have normally been able to catch. And that's cool. But you know what, Junior? That's going to do it for you and I tonight in this Racetime Radio studio. It's been a blast. 2 hours flashes on by. And we've got to thank all of our guests tonight. Donald Chisholm. We had Luke Ramsey on here. J.R. Fitzpatrick. And, of course, Kerry Mix. Got to thank all those guys for jumping on here and making Racetime Radio what it is. We like talking to those kind of guys and getting the fans what you all want as well. But that's going to do it for us. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us all up. And, of course, all of our good friends at Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Guys back in Toronto,
for wiring us up and getting this all out to you. That's going to do it for us. We will catch you back here next Sunday night. What do you say? We'll make it a date. We'll see you then here on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent.